Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Yes, I am back. I know I took the week off of live entertainment for you guys. That meant also that Casey Bubba was off for a week, but we are both back. Talking hour three. You can follow him on the Twitter at BDantric. Bubba, what is going on, my man?
Not much, man. Life is good. We got baseball. We got real baseball for the first time since we've been on the airwaves again. So it's a beautiful thing that life is feeling really darn normal these days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll get to how normal it actually is in a second. True. With your squad there, the Giants. But look, man, opening day was a lot of fun for me. Obviously, I flew into Phoenix, got to see the Welsh, and we were at the game where Seth Beer hit the walk-off three-run shot on National Beer Day. It was a pretty incredible moment and made, you know, I mean, look, the trip was worth it anyway. I say I'm going for opening day, and opening day is fun, but I really just went to go see my buddies, you know.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of the Seth Beer homer? And, of course, I had to be forefront of your mind.
Honestly, you were forefront of my mind. So, like, people might think it's joking, but we spent enough time together. Like, my first thought was like, well, at least, because at first, when you're getting no hit through six, mm-hmm. I'm thinking,
what a
time. I'm like, I can picture Bogman right now. Like, I can just so picture it. He's like looking at all the fans trying to figure out what else he's going to do with this time. And next thing you know, like, they hit the walk off home run with Beer. And I'm just picturing just Bogman's whole lease on life changing. Like, oh, I could spend a week out here. This is great. I miss Arizona instead of like, screw this place. So, I immediately did think of you. And I was like, that's pretty cool because it was looking pretty bleak there for a while. And then when you went back the next day, I believe it was bleak again.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I went the next 2 days and it was, you know, no hit through seven the next game and the loss and then lost again. But then at least by the time I got home, the game hadn't started. So I got to watch the whole game, the whole Sunday game from my home and just get crushed, you know, and then also lost yesterday. So 1-4 to start the year.
Hey,
so,
you're 1-2. You're doing good.
Yeah, not a great start. You know, gonna be a long year for sure. But I mean, look, we have so much to talk about. So we'll get to baseball in a second, right? There's gonna be a ton of baseball. So I watched 0 seconds of the Masters because I was traveling. And I also don't care about golf, as everyone knows. But I know the Masters is a huge tournament. I know Tiger. It's not true that I watched 0 seconds because I was at a bar and I saw Tiger.
You had no choice.
Completely biff a putt. Well, it was pissing me off because we were walking up and down the bars in Phoenix before the game. And I walk into a bar on opening day for baseball and the Masters is on every single channel. Look, fine. I get people like the Masters. but it's opening day, 500 feet away from Chase Field, a baseball stadium. Can we maybe throw the Cardinals game on? You know, I mean, Jesus.
First time you've ever said that in your life.
You know, well, look, I'm just saying, like, I want to watch baseball all day when baseball is on. That's what I want to do. I don't want to watch any golf. But the Masters was on. Tell me what happened, because I have no idea who won or what happened or if there was any drama.
Well, El Tigre moves the needle, Bogman, more That's than right. Major League Baseball opening day. That's just Apparently, the proof of it all.
At least for local bars.
But Tiger made the cut, which is huge, and you could tell he's not ready to play a full four rounds of golf right now, because he was, as the weekend went on, he was getting beat up and beat up and beat up. Just not looking good. Had a rough Saturday, but it was good to see him back out there. But the story of the week was Scottie Scheffler, who, coming into the Masters, had won three of his last five golf tournaments, took over number one ranking in the world last week. And then he goes out and wins the Masters and, like, wins Man. It easily, smokes the field. Just like, it was one of the more impressive things I've seen. I've talked about it with a few guys. And he was just, he looked like he'd be in trouble. And then he just hit this shot. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. Like, he was, he is so locked in. It was so beautiful. It was windy as heck on Saturday, I believe it was. And him and like two guys are the only ones that kind of survived that day. So it was fun golf. Augusta, if you're a golf fan, is just awesome. Like, it's fun to watch. I got to watch a little bit Saturday and Sunday. I didn't get to watch nearly as much as I would like, but Scheffler won. Tiger made his triumphant return. There was just good golf overall. Nothing crazy storylines off the top of my head that you would care about, but that's the gist of it.
So no drama, no
bunting. One fell down the stairs, no bunting. No. Although, I guess the funny thing is like, if you could have going into Sunday, because Scheffler was doing so well, there was like prop bets to win by four or more strokes, and he went into the 18th hole up five, and he double bogeyed it because he missed two short putts, and so he only won by three. So that made some people pretty pumped.
Yeah.
That took the prop bet, but he was nervous. There's stories about him like stressed out and crying, and his wife had to calm him down Sunday morning, because it was just it was a wild one. It's I told someone on Saturday when I was watching.
Who was
it
this
with
that was stressed out and crying?
Scott Scheffler, the guy that won.
Okay,
I told someone
That's
on Saturday.
A lot of pressure.
Well, when you're up big, I said he'd rather probably be tied or down right now, because when you're up like five or six strokes,
all you can
it's like,
do is choke.
Exactly. He's like, just don't screw this up, instead of staying aggressive and doing things. Like, now it's like, okay, don't mess up, because you'll be the laughing stock forever type thing.
Yeah.
And it got to Falcons. Him. And that's why, like, he even admitted that's why he missed those putts on 18, because those are easy putts for him, and he was just missing them. And if people started just like applauding him and laughing, and he felt better, just nailed the next one. But it's it just goes to show you they're human. It was a great story. I was happy for him. He's a good dude. He's a normal dude. He's not like a, you know, pretty boy. Like, He's just a weird, good dude that got the job done, from Texas. He's a Texas boy.
Atta boy.
So four of
great
his last
name,
six
Scott.
Golf tournaments.
Yep. Great Scotty. Name. Like
he goes
that.
By Scotty, though. He goes, he's like, must be like a mama's boy. So I don't
Scotty.
Know.
Scotty. Yeah. No, he's probably the youngest, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, I have people in my life that will only refer to me as Scotty. And it doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care. So
this fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
I think if I went by it, I'd probably sound like a child, but, you know, to each their own. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking some baseball. Golf is done and over with. We don't need to talk about it anymore. So we'll be back right after this break to talk some baseball. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Call me at BDentric. We're going to talk about some baseball. And let me tell you, we already talked about my walk-off win in Arizona on opening day.
My walk-off win.
How about your walk-off win on opening day? Because I text Spore. Spore is our buddy. He's a Tigers fan. I said, you know what's great? And he said, what? And I said, walk-off opening day wins, because the Tigers also walked off on opening day. So a lot of opening day fun action, and the Giants were a big part of it.
Yeah, they were. They've it's been an up and down start to the season, let's put it that way. But the walk-off style, our opening day was obviously Friday, not Thursday like the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. But it was a wild one because I was golfing with some buddies. We had it playing over the phone through the app so we could listen to it. We were either going to go to the game or golf, and we chose golf. But it was a close second. And it was wild. It's like, oh, they're cruising. Oh, Duvall's in on the ninth. Sweet. And then boom, boom, Jazz Chisholm, my dog. So it was kind of like, it was a bittersweet.
Off of Duvall, my dog. Yeah, it was I have rostered Duvall in, I think, maybe every single league I have. And I was like, this dude's getting the first save opportunity. I'm going to look like a genius.
Yeah, it's like you're about to drop him in every league, too. But yeah, Chisholm goes deep. And I'm like, okay, it's bittersweet, but we got time. Even our buddy Ryan Bloomfield's texting me going, man, this is going to be great for you. You get the Chisholm home run and the Giants are going to come back and win, aren't they? And I'm like, let's hope so. And then next thing you know, Thayer Estrada with the bomb, they go extras, they walk it off. It was a beautiful way to start the season. It really was, because it's not Giants baseball without what Dwayne Kuiper phrased years ago as torture. That's how the Giants do things. It's never easy in San Francisco. So it was a fitting start to the season.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is when we're walking out of the ballpark, there was a buzz in the air at Chase Field, which won't be felt probably for years to come, to be honest with you. But, like, you know, Seth Beer in his first opening day at bat, cranking a three-run homer, or game, not at bat, but cranking a three-run homer on National Beer Day, which I didn't even know it was National
Beer
Day.
Now, that's pretty cool. Like, that's...
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. And then we're walking out, and the Welsh is like, that's got to be the best moment you've ever had here, right? And I was like, well, I mean, come on, man. I was at Game 7 of the World Series here. You know, so that was bigger. And he's like, okay, how about opening day? And I was like, well, we walked off the Giants a couple years ago on opening day because Melanson blew a save. And in that game, I believe that was Bumgarner's last opening day start for the Giants. And in that game, Bumgarner threw six perfect innings, had two homers because there was no DH yet, too. He's having an amazing game, and Melanson completely hosed him, which is why I am not the biggest Mark Melanson fan, is because I've seen him screw stuff up. And by the way, he has been miserable through two appearances with Diamondbacks so far. Just god-awful, and that was the big money they spent.
I know this isn't like strictly a fantasy show. Who's their backup?
Ian Kennedy. Yeah, okay. That's where we're at. Dude, their other big signing was Oliver Perez.
I know. I saw that. I was watching.
Perez is 40. He's older than me, dude. Well,
that's why I laugh. I always have my MLB at bat app, and I'm like, you know, I'll check games as they're going on. There's a couple guys on base. Let's see what it is. I see Oliver Perez is pitching, and I'm like, is this an independent league game? Like, what the heck is going on here? Is this the Birmingham Barons? Is Michael Jordan coming out of the corner in a minute?
I believe that Oliver Perez's goal is to have a jersey from every single team in Major League Baseball.
He's trying to one-up Bartolo Colon, minus all the kids, probably.
Yeah, and the extra family and the huge gut. So, exactly. So, I look, God bless him. He's still making a living in the Major League.
He's probably
making
like $2 to $3 million a year to do
Just to come in and play terrible. I mean, who cares?
That's why there's a lesson in life, people. If you have a boy, well, you can have a girl too nowadays. I don't care.
Whatever.
But teach him how to throw left-handed.
Yeah, left-handed in a heartbeat. Right. That's exactly right. That's all you want is if he could throw 90 and he's left-handed, he'll probably make the bigs. That's just, you know, at least as a crappy reliever like Oliver Perez. So that is the lesson to be garnered here. But look, your team has obviously been mired in a little bit of controversy over the last couple days. Obviously, now this is Saturday. We're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. But the you had two huge things happen. The first one was the, coach got ejected, the first base coach for the Giants, Anton Richardson, right? Is that out? Okay. So Anton Richardson, and then Alyssa Nakin takes over at first base.
Nakin.
Nacken, excuse me.
I grew up with the family. They're close to me.
Okay, my bad. Yeah. My bad. Alyssa Nacken. Okay, so Alyssa Nacken takes over at first, and it was so weird, by the way, because I wasn't watching that game, and I see first ever female coach on field after Richardson gets ejected, blah, 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 blah. And I see a picture. I'm like, what jersey is she wearing? Is this a Guardians jersey? Is this a, you know,
City Connect, baby?
Those are some ugly City Connect jerseys. They are bad.
You missed my tweet then, because
I did.
They wore them last year, and it was something.
Were the same thing that bad?
Yeah, the same exact ones, and they're hideous. But they're 8-1 in them last year, and they were hitting last night. As you know, we're recording on Wednesday, as you said, Tuesday night they were hitting. And I said something about these ugly A jerseys. They just continue to rake when they wear them. So wear them all the time. I don't care.
Yeah, who cares? Put on an ugly jersey if it's good luck. Who gives a crap? I don't care. You know, I don't know. I kind of like all the Diamondbacks uniforms. I know that there's a bunch of people that hated the purples. There's a bunch of people that hate the current ones. I don't know. I think they're all kind of fine. I don't like the serpentines. I'll say that. Because that's just like a beige. It looks like a Padres uniform to me.
Yeah.
So it's not my favorite. But anyway, speaking of the Padres, Giants are up 9 runs. Mauricio Dubon bunts. It causes a big controversy. And then there's other things with it, with Richardson and the manager of the Padres. Who is it? It's not Tingler anymore, right? It's Bob Melvin.
Bob Melvin, yes.
Yeah. So,
And then wonderful third base coach, Schilt, the old Cardinals manager.
Oh, that's right. Mike Schilt. That's who it was.
He was talking all kinds of trash.
Yeah, he said, control that MF-er, I believe was his words. Richardson took exception to that, thinking it had undertones.
Yep.
I don't know if it had undertones at all. I have no idea what lives in Mike Schilt's heart. You know, maybe he's a racist. He definitely could be. I have no idea.
Could just be an old white.
Yeah. I mean, that is like there's an old white doing old white things. Right. Yeah.
It's Clint Eastwood and in Gran Torino right there, folks. Go
that
get them.
That is funny, dude. Oh, yeah. Wow. Gran Torino. Yikes.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, look, there's controversy in this game. So just your thoughts. You're a Giants fan. You obviously saw what happened. I mean, it's not a good look for anybody here outside of Nacken, you know, which is great. And Eric Hosmer went over and shook her hand after being a complete crybaby in the Diamondback series the whole time. Just huge, giant crybaby wuss, Eric Hosmer, but did the right thing, shook her hand. It was a great moment. It's a great moment in baseball. You know, this is baseball history being made. Mm-hmm. But then First you ever. Have this other thing that we thought we're past this. We should be. And it seems like we're not. So it's a hard moment to, you're happy for Nacken and what happened there. I mean, you know, I think most people are, but this other nasty thing happens and it kind of ruins this moment. So it's just, it seems like one step forward and two steps back here. So your thoughts as a Giants fan.
Welcome to the USA. It was awesome to see her out there because, like, in spring training, she coached first base a lot. And my dad actually was down here on Saturday, and we were talking about it. I said, I wonder if she can get to coach this year. Like, pure speculation. Yeah. I'm like, it's pretty cool because just the storyline and everything in general is great. So glad she got to do that. She's very humble about it. The media around the hometown is nuts right now, apparently, over all this. But we'll see where that one goes. Briefly, Padres, coaches, garbage human beings. I'm going to say that right now.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
That stuff's bad.
I have not liked Bob Melvin for a
Bob while, Melvin's so. a tool, and Schilt, there's a reason why, even with winning records, Schilt got fired. Let's just put it that way. There's something behind the curtains there. That's why he got fired. I'll give you my full thoughts in a little bit because we have to hit break. But this is the Padres are garbage.
Yeah, look.
And sorry, San Diego. I know you're listening.
Yeah, I agree with that. But we will take a break and you know, talk a little more in depth about this on the other side. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
It's full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at BogmanSports. Please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ITL Army, where we got all kinds of great goodies for you. We got rankings, we got group me rooms. I'm going to be doing a live stream for all 3 days of the NFL draft coming up here at the end of the month. I can't believe it's so close. It feels like it's still two more months away, but it is. We are right on the precipice of it. So Bubba and I got offered a job for that as well.
Where were you sitting when I text you that picture? Like, what were you doing in that moment?
So I'm sitting on my buddy's couch in Phoenix that I'm staying with, and I'm like, we might have just got a pretty weird job offer. So and you told me about it. You're like, I got this email. I'm like, oh man, I didn't get that email. That's pretty cool. And then I checked my email. I'm like, I didn't get that email. So I wonder what list we're on here, which is funny because I don't think Welsh got it. But it was we'll peel the curtain back here. It was to live stream the NFL draft from a strip club. Like from the main stage.
From the main stage club. With like our drinks and food accommodated and right. Like everything. Just the
right.
Cha-cha.
So
and like, entertainment still going on around us. It wouldn't have stopped.
seemed like a dream job, but I think because we both work for weird companies now or different companies.
Well, I'd be frowned upon.
You know, probably not look good, especially for one that I look at that's had some issues. So with people there. So you know
that? Yes.
Yep. So probably not a good look. So
Maybe we should email one of those guys.
Oh, I don't know. Are they welcome? I don't think they would be. So, yikes. But anyway, speaking of yikes, we're talking about this scenario in San Francisco that happened on Tuesday evening where Alyson Atkin, first MLB woman to ever coach on field ever because Richardson got booted from the game. He got booted because he reacted to something with some racial undertones, according to him. And the comment was this MF-er. That is what it was. Now, it's funny because I saw this and I thought back to a Diamondbacks game, like everything. I relate everything to the Diamondbacks because that's the team I watch. Because
you
most.
Love pain.
Yes. Yeah. Because I'm emo, apparently. But so there was a scenario where the D-backs are in St. Louis playing the Cardinals and Yadier Molina is getting these strike calls because he's one of the best framers in the history of baseball, right? He is he's grabbing the ball, he's moving it a little bit after the catch, and they're getting these calls. I can't remember who the umpire was, but Torey Lovullo comes out, he's screaming at this umpire, and he points at Yadier and he kept saying, that MF-er, you're gonna give that MF-er extra strikes? That's not what he needs at all. And so he says it like three times, and Molina got up and got in Torey Lovullo's face. And you could see the look on Lovullo's face because he puts his hands up as soon as Molina gets in front of him. He puts his hands up and he goes, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Like, you can read his lips. Like, he's not saying that MF-er to Molina. What he's saying is Molina's already so good, and you're going to give him extra strikes? That's not what he needs. Yeah. You know, he doesn't need extra strikes. What are you doing? He's yelling at the umpire. It has nothing to do with Molina, but this was more pointed. Because this is kind of what I'm trying to point out. It's the same words, but it's a different scenario using the words, and it felt different to the first base coach here. So, you were kind of talking about it. It was a really cool moment, kind of marred by this other moment. Like you said, welcome to America. But, anything else you want to follow up with on this subject? Because we are running into dicey area here. So.
Yeah, no, I'm going to just talk about it real quick. I do like the Padres, just don't like Shelton Melvin. Just want to clarify that for the San Diego listeners.
Okay, just real quick on Melvin. Yeah. When Seth Beer comes up on opening day against the Padres. I said, they got to walk Beer now. Lefty on righty power, like, you don't want to throw to Beer here. And they didn't, three-run homer. And this is what Bob Melvin's been doing for years. Yep. He's not a good manager.
No, he's not. But I just want to clarify a couple things. So, because Dubon bunted, but also Austin Slater stole a base. So that was part of the controversy. And it was really good because Dubon bunted, comes back to the dugout, and that's when all the comments were happening.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, video of Kapler taking him down the tunnel, and, like, kind of like, hey, take him down the tunnel, talking to him. So then everybody's speculating, like, even, like, guys on Twitter were videoing it saying, oh, Kapler's mad too, and blah, blah, blah. Kapler came out afterwards and defended his guy. He told him, good for you, do your thing. It's like, hey, if they're going to keep playing, we got to keep putting up runs, which is true. We've heard Belichick say that for years with the Patriots.
Yeah, Nick Saban has said it for
years. Until there's a forfeit button, you got to play the game. Like, it's that simple. The one thing I will say, like you said, we won't, like, bury this too much, but two things that have really stuck out to me so far this season, and it happened even in that game. There's way too many position players pitching right now. Way too many.
Yeah, dude. You have 28 roster spots. Carson Kelly was in there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been at least D. two Gordon. Guys each of the last 2 days.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. And the other thing I'll mention is before today's game that is playing right now as we record, Schilt and the first base coach, I just totally blanked again.
Richardson, right?
They met before the game. They showed him on camera and stuff, talking and shaking hands. And they both said, like, this is squashed. We're good. But it was like a heat of the moment thing. So that's all taken care of. So whatever speculation's there, it's done. But my biggest gripe is I hate these guys that get mad that there's these unwritten rules and stuff. And it's ridiculous. But
if there needs to be a rule, then write the rule down.
Yeah. Then make a forfeit button.
Right.
Make a 15 run mercy rule or something. I don't care.
Yeah. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that should be the thing because, you know, like you said, position players are throwing and that's a bunch of nonsense. You know, when Carson Kelly's out there throwing game 3 or 4 of the season, it's pathetic.
D Gordon was pitching in Atlanta last night he threw the slowest pitch in major league history at 43 miles an hour, I believe I saw, and it was just like, this is ridiculous. And you got Albies going deep, you had Sheldon Noyce taking Brett Phillips deep for a grand slam on Monday. It's just like, it's dumb. Yeah. But they don't get mad when they hit home runs, but they get mad if they bunt or steal.
Right. Yeah. It's strange rules, like you said. And I think is another part of it. I mentioned this on ITL on the fantasy baseball show. So apologies if you guys have already heard this. But my thought, too, was that the reason that we're seeing so many little squabbles already is because you haven't really been able to fight or get angry for 2 years, honestly. Like, a lot of pent-up aggression. Because if you fought in 2020, it was a major fine. We saw the Astros and Dodgers get into a big fight, and a bunch of dudes got fined and suspended because COVID, right? Yep. And there's no vaccine at that point, and there were no, you know, people were still very weary about, you know, player contact and all that stuff. No spitting. Remember all those weird rules. So, you had that, and then last year it didn't get much better. You know, the rules were still in place of, you know, no extra contact, all that stuff. There were some fights, but now this year that they're not even testing, nobody really cares. You know, now it's on. Now you can, if you get buzzed inside, you can go run at the pitcher and know that you're not going to get a $100,000 fine for, I mean, you know, if you do something really bad, you will. But, you know, I think that's got to be a little bit of it, too. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
A bit. There's more of the old school, like, you know, you do something, I'm going to, you know, put my chest out like a peacock and see what happens. But we'll see. Actually, we saw a bases clearing brawl or a dugout clearing brawl between, what was it, the Mets and the Phillies, I think it was.
Yeah,
that was because Lindor got hit in the face. So Alonso, they're beaming everybody. And luckily, somehow, the Mets didn't retaliate. I thought Soto was going to wear one, but that did not happen. So there was enough for the fighting, but not the throwback. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it was, there's been a lot of animosity early in the season. So
pent up aggression, as you said. I think that's a very, very good point. And there's ways to fix that, Bogman. You know how to do this.
Sometimes you just got to get the poison out. So
long showers, people. You'll be
that's
okay.
Right. That's right. So I have a question because I think the Welsh and I have a philosophical difference on this now as well. Pulling pitchers early in the season when they have a no-hitter or perfect game. We saw Clayton Kershaw get lifted on Wednesday with 13 strikeouts, 7 innings, only 80 pitches.
Perfect, too. It wasn't no-hitter. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect. We saw Darvish get yanked from a no-hitter. we've seen a couple other guys get yanked with no hitters early in the year because, look, guys that have been left in early in the season to get that no hitter or perfect game have had injuries. The whole thing with Darvish, he almost had a perfect game against the Astros on an opening day a while back. It was one of his first opening day starts. I believe he's on the Cubs. And Marwin Gonzalez ripped one up the middle with two outs in the ninth. So it was 8 2/3, no hit. And then he got yanked immediately after that hit. But he got injured that year, of course. So I think we're seeing a track record of guys throwing too many pitches early in the year, and they get yanked, even if they have a no-hitter. So where do you stand in terms of, do we need to not yank these guys? Is it okay in certain scenarios, or do you want to see a guy go out there and try to get his perfect game or no-hitter?
See, it sucks. Like, I'd love to see them go get it, but I understand it now, and I'm kind of for the pulling of it, which really sounds bad to say, because with how much money's on the line now, for especially on this season, where there's a quick ramp up, and you don't know how much their arms are really ready for this type of situation. Yeah, guys like Darvish, who has had injury histories. Kershaw, obviously an injury concern.
Right.
It's tough to just say, go get them, boys. If this was obviously June or July, I'd be very angry, but I can't blame the teams for this right now. It sucks. I would love to see Kershaw get a perfect game as much as I hate the Dodgers, because Kershaw's awesome. But I'd rather see Kershaw come out now and hopefully pitch a full season. So it's a very gray area. You're never going to win either way if you're the coach. Yeah. And it's honestly amazing Dave Roberts made the right decision.
Yeah, look, I agree with all that. You just don't want these guys to get hurt. I think that's kind of the bottom line.
In the end, it's a business, folks, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I mean, also, like, even these guys don't want to get hurt and then not play the rest of the year, you know? Yep. So, and you can't leave it up to them, because if you leave it up to the player, every single time they're going to say they're fine. Every time. Yep. Not 100 out of 100. There's no instances where they're going to take a break. So, but we are going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll be talking a little more baseball. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your...
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad?
I had protein this morning, right?
Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins insulin.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined by Casey Bubba, at BDentric Bubba. Tell everyone where they can find all your great and amazing work across the interwebs, because you are doing a lot these days, tons and tons of work. Let's hear it.
I'm so flattered that you phrase it that way. But the Benched with Bubba podcast, for those that keep track at home, 2 to 3 times a week for you, for your fantasy baseball needs. MLB DFS Quick Hits Monday through Friday mornings for your DFS needs. Written content at rotoballer.com, at fantasypros.com, and fantraxhq.com. I think that's all my baseball. Always pressing PGA DFS podcast for golf as well. And there's probably something I'm forgetting, so just follow me on Twitter at BDentric. But you'll get all the goods there. I got stuff pretty much every day of the week for you, so one way or another.
You know what I got coming up here?
Mock draft
chapters.
Oh, it is that time of the year. It's your turn. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I'm assuming you're doing dynasty, like draft targets and defense.
I'm doing IDP and rookies. Yeah. That's what we do. That's what we do for old
and
Joey.
What day is it due?
May 15th.
So. Okay, so that means May 14th, don't talk to Bogman because he'll be doing it.
Correct.
I know how this goes, so just going to throw it out there. Maybe the 13th. We'll give him a benefit of the doubt here in a couple of days.
when I'm working on stuff like that, I'll rewrite it 3 or 4 times if I give myself enough time. So I like to work myself into a corner and then get it done. That's how we like to do that stuff, because I will – I'll overdo it. You know, he had to make the print smaller in my sections the first year I did it because I went so long.
So listen to this guy.
We will not be 50% of the black book this season. We will make it smaller, I promise. But
that's a code for saying he wasn't going to get 50% of the profits. So he's like, I'm not writing much anymore.
Well, also, yes, you know, but we're talking baseball here. And look, there's been some hot starts, and I would love to calm everyone down who is upset about a bad start or really happy about a great start, because baseball will absolutely humble you. Mm-hmm. It'll humble you when you thought a guy was terrible. It'll humble you when you thought a guy was the best ever in the bee's knees. So right now, all of the fervor is on guys like Stephen Kwan, Seiya Suzuki, who are absolutely eating up pitching. I mean, Suzuki hit a multi-homer game the other day. He's already got 3 homers. Jose Ramirez has been crushing it, and he's been in some trade rumors right now, which is just strange. But let's get your thoughts on Kwan and Suzuki after we get your thoughts on hot starts and how to handle them.
Yeah, that's a fun one. It's been a fun topic of conversation and articles and everything right now, because it's all about his patience. Like, especially if you drafted these guys, you drafted them for a reason. Let's be realistic about it. Guys slump all the time. Hot starts, that means they're going to have a cold spell to bring it back to earth. It's just the way it goes. Like, Stephen Kwan's not going to hit 500 all year. It's not going to happen. So when he hits, if he finishes the season even at 300, that slump's going to be fun.
He did finally strike out yesterday,
yeah,
I think.
So I saw that Lodello finally got him on one. So that was his first swing and miss and strikeout of the season. So that was big. Didn't strike out in the spring either. But, you know, guys like Kwan, like Suzuki, it's just going to be an up and down ride. But the same thing, like people are like, oh, Ozzie Albies playing so bad. I saw so many things. The next day he doubles in homers. Like, it's just, right. You know, Mullins just hit a grand slam and now everyone's cool again. It's just, it's so early in the season to get paranoid. Like, the only things I'm getting paranoid over is right now we're in the second time through the pitching rotation and some pitching has been atrocious right now. Like, some bad pitching from some big names. And if I see, like, consistency and, like, velocity problems and stuff, then I can start to get concerned. But when it comes to a hitter and most pitchers, I'm willing to kind of keep some patience at least till we get closer to May, or at least like May 1st, get a good sample in there. And then we can start really assessing. Like, obviously if there's, you know, there's always, you know, different circumstances, but for the most part, I'm trying to exercise a bit of patience.
Yeah. I mean, Jose Barrios couldn't get out of the first inning. Yu Darvish gave up 9 and whatever it was, an inning and a third the other day. And look, those things, they're awful. You don't ever want to see. I have many, especially dynasty shares of Yu Darvish. You don't want to see that stuff. I have Barrios in a bunch of spots too. I think Barrios was your dark horse for the Cy Young, wasn't he? So
yep. And he's
you never
there.
Want to see a start like that. But I mean, I feel like specifically Darvish give up 8. He's got to be tipping his pitches in a game like that, right?
It's either that or I saw some smart people, like I think it was Alex Fast, who knows pitching pretty well. He said for this like second straight start, it's been a heavy fastball arsenal, which is not his norm. Right. So that means he doesn't have a feel for the other pitches. Could be the sticky stuff, or there could be still an injury, a situation where he doesn't want to throw a bunch of sliders and off speed pitches. Who knows? So that's another thing. Like, you look at stuff like that, and that's where you kind of like a little red flag might come up. Like, something's different, and why? What are we doing here? So yeah.
So trading. I mean, this has to be right now trade away season, not trade. You're trading away your hot starters and you're trading for bad starters. So that is what you want to do right now. You want to sell high and buy low this early in the season, every single time. Is there a hot start or two that you are buying? Are you buying into Kwan and what he's doing? He's been great. Are you buying into Seiya? and how he has been. I think these are more realistic hot starts than, like, you know, I mean, the, you know, one that I always use because it just makes me so mad that my cousin traded CC Sabathia for Chris Shelton. Remember when Chris Shelton Yearman Mercedes last year? You know, Pisa Pia has talked about a couple times as well. So, like, you know, these guys that started hot, and then, you know, Mercedes didn't even finish with the big league team. I don't know what the hell Chris Shelton's doing. He's probably coaching Double A. I think Welsh looked it up, and he's coaching somewhere now. You know, don't buy into hot starts, especially less than 3 weeks is just absurd, correct?
Yeah, like I think Stephen Kwan will be fine. He's going to be a good OBP guy, hit for a pretty good average, probably 280, maybe 290. But he's not going to have a ton of power and speed. You'd be stoked if he got 10 and 10. And that's just not like – that's a – it's a nice fantasy player, but not a fantasy like stud. So if you can get something for him now, go for it. I made a comparison on the recent Bubba and the Bat Flip that we did on Tuesday night. We go over, we recap the week in Fab, and Kwan was a massive ad. Him, Josh Lowe, and then there was Connor Joe. And I said, at the end of the year, I want to see the difference between Connor Joe's numbers and Stephen Kwan's.
Ooh,
I guarantee you, there'll be like Joe won't run. I know that much, but power. Runs, RBIs, average, they'll be a lot closer than people think. And if you look at the money spent in Fab, I know you asked trade, but it's a, still like an easy example to explain. Like people are spending anywhere from like $50 to $200 for Kwan, where the highest bid on Connor Joe is $57 in all NFBC leagues.
Yeah.
So it just makes you think, like, you know, don't go crazy for these hot starts is basically the moral of the story here. And at least Joe's got a track record, so we can kind of see where he's at. Where are these prospects, man? You're playing with fire. Like Welsh can tell you 100%. It's some guys eventually come up and make it work. Some take a lot of time. It's a weird deal.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a weird deal. So, you know, let's calm it down there. So, you know, you and I haven't gotten to talk shares. Who is your most, like, who do you have the most of on any roster? And it's always the guys at the end of the draft because they're free. Yeah. You can draft them. So it's never like no one's going to, well, I have 9 shares of Mike Trout. Okay, really? You pick 9th every single time in your drafts? That's crazy. So, but who do you have the most shares of? And I'm sure it's someone lower down on the list.
Yeah, because I do a lot of like draft champions, like draft and hold formats. And then also you can mix in the other drafts. But these guys are actually drafted in both formats for me. They're my two highest relevant roster players. So I'm like the back end guys. Jonathan Scope. Ton of Jonathan Scope. Talked about him, I think, on this show. Talked about him on a ton of shows. He went yard on Wednesday. He's good for 20-plus homers, like a 280 average. Like, just look at his numbers, as consistent as they come.
Jonathan Scope, to me, is a really good, like, middle infield buy when you already have swipes. You know, you don't need to get swipes out of that middle infield spot. And like you said, decent average with a little bit of pop. Hard to beat. So I like that.
My other guy is same team. I'm a Detroit Tigers fan, apparently. But he got hurt on Tuesday, so I'm curious to see where it goes. But Robbie Grossman, ton of Robbie Grossman. Yeah. Because he was going way too late for my – because at that point, the draft steals were getting harder and harder to come by. He's still a guy that runs. So I had a lot of Robbie Grossman. So those my they both were tied for the same amount of shares on my roster with Scope and Grossman.
I was hitting Grossman so hard over the head in the preseason. I'm now getting tweets about – you know, what people are upset that Robbie Grossman is struggling so much. But, dude, we're not even out of the second series as we're recording this of the season. Yep. Nobody's out of the second series yet. So it is just nuts to me the way that people – it's like I got to assume the overreaction is people that are new to baseball.
Pretty much.
You know, that's got to be it because the season is such a slog. You know, if you want to bench those guys, bench them. Of course, you know, slap him on the bench, even in a weekly format. You know, you can say, okay, I went 2 weeks with this guy. He's not hitting at all. I'm just going to bench him and stash him until, you know, he starts to get it going. So I completely understand that. But just this overreaction city.
It was like Joe Adell. Joe Adell had a horrible first weekend. He was not even starting. Trout gets scratched. Adell starts, gets a double and a homer.
Yeah,
like these guys are talented. They're just gonna take gotta get your, you know, your sea legs comfortable basically, and you'll see what happens.
Right. I mean, some of it is adjusting to a new place, especially guys, you know, getting in a new rhythm, and guys moving leagues too, and seeing all new pitchers, and being in a new home ballpark, and dealing with all that stuff, and then their family there, blah blah blah. Like it's just a lot to deal with in the opener. Are you going to go to any Giants games? How long has it been? I know it's expensive to get in there.
Freaking crazy.
Especially when they're, you know, coming off of a 100-win season. Yeah. You know,
well, they're giving away massive discounts. That's why we almost went to opening day. Like, I'm getting emails all the time about, like, discounted tickets. So
it's a lot of people not wanting to spend money on
that's what sports, it is, because it's so expensive to go there, man. We went for Father's Day last year. I got to take my daughter to her first game. So I'll probably take her again, or maybe we'll go to San Jose Giants down the road. Like, I like those a bunch. But I love going. It's getting so crazy how much it costs to go to a Giants game now, where I can watch it just fine on my TV, and then I just go to my bedroom and go to bed.
Right. So it's kind of a deal with the traffic.
Yeah.
Right.
It's tough. I really want to go to more games. Don't get me wrong. It's not as incentivized as I once was, I guess.
Yeah, and taking a kid, too, is a whole thing. Because if you take a kid, you know you're leaving early.
Yeah, and I might not be taking her to this one, but one game I really want to go to, as I'm trying to get it figured out, is they are retiring Will Clark's number this year.
Oh,
so
Will
I need to be at that game.
Yeah. You better get tickets to that.
My goal.
Isn't he hanging up right behind you? That's Will, right?
Yeah, that's Will right behind me.
Yep. Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, they're retiring Goldie's number. I'd try to get back, which they will be eventually.
Eventually, for sure. They have to. He was like Luis Gonzalez, then Goldie. Those were your Diamondbacks.
Yeah. Randy is up there too. It's Randy and Luis right now. It's 51 and 20 are the two numbers that they've retired so far. So, and obviously every stadium has 42 retired. So, which I don't know, like Jackie Robinson, they kind of got lost in the shuffle already. So,
yeah, it got looked over real quick because of everything that went down, which is surprising.
But, yeah.
And again, does anything really surprise you with anything Rob Manfred does these days?
No, he's an idiot. Like, I'm just so sick of that guy. And I'm not like, I know a lot of people hate Goodell, and I can get on that bandwagon. There's, a lot of people are going to start hating Adam Silver because the NBA is in, they're going to be in a labor negotiation process fairly soon here, too. So, there's going to be a lot of hate for him as well. But I mean, just, I don't know that there's a more tone-deaf commissioner in sports than Rob Manfred.
Yeah, by far the worst.
Not even close. So, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will end out the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. So stick with us right back to end it after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You here in this love. You know what that means. It's the end of the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Be sure to follow us all on Twitter, at Bogman Sports for myself, at BD Entrick for Casey Bubba, at Is It the Welsh. For the Welsh, I wanted to ask you this to wrap up here, Bub. We saw Alec Bohm, mouth, I effing hate this place about Philly when he got booed. And it's been a rough go for him. And the last couple times the Phillies have brought someone up to begin the season on opening day just hasn't worked out. Scott King, what is Scott Kingery doing right now? Remember, he was going to be the man.
Maybe hanging out with John Singleton.
Yeah, he's out in AAA, rolling doobies with John Singleton or something. I don't know what he's doing. So it's just not great. But I don't hate Bohm for saying this. You wish he would have put his glove over his mouth and maybe said it. It would have made it easier for him. But he backtracked and, he did the Daryl Green and was backpedaling pretty fast there. But what do you think about when a guy gets frustrated like this, in a certain city?
Tell me one person that has not gone to their job throughout a day and at some point in time and says, I hate this place.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. He's just on the national stage. And he's not one of the multimillionaires like some of the other guys that kind of should have to take it. He was playing bad. He was hearing, because that's what Philadelphia does. You don't really throw batteries at Santa Claus. That's what Philadelphia does.
Right.
But it was hilarious because RotoWare made a shirt that was amazing. And the very next day, Baum, I think, had a sack fly or something, and the place gave him a standing ovation. And he was just laughing. He was just laughing so hard. And it's just one of those things. Your emotions get the best of you. He could have done a million things worse. He could have made a racial slur like some like Schilt or something. But
allegedly, my bad.
You forgot to see the quotes on the camera. But I don't blame Baum at all. He's a young kid. Emotions got the best of him. He could have flipped off the crowd, like you know.
Oh yeah, that's happened before.
Kerry Collins or something. Jason, like, there's so Kidd. Many things that could have happened. So
yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too. So yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation, but hopefully, I would like to see him be embraced by Philly and play well there. But you got to play well first. You got to do it first. But that's gonna do it for us this week. We will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid, out.